You're listening to Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari, where NFL legends live on. Back to you, boys.
It's him. He's alive.
Now, joining us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is our second guest Hall of Fame inductee of the night, and that's former Pro Bowl quarterback Gus Frerotte. Gus has been a wonderful friend over the last few years. His insights on the Redskins and the Vikings and inside the mind of a quarterback have been absolutely outstanding. His support on social media and willingness to join us anytime really lets you know what a great friend he's become. He had an outstanding 15-year career in the NFL. He's a guy who works so hard, going from a seventh-round draft pick to being the starting quarterback on a team that drafted a quarterback in the first round with the third pick overall, eventually beat out that guy and became the starting quarterback. You know, so it tells you everything you need to know about Gus and how hard he worked. We look forward to every opportunity to get his thoughts and his insights. He continues to do a great job in life after football, helping us all improve our brain functionality. He has been doing some great work with a company called 4View, and that's a number 4View. Check it out online, 4view.com. Gus is the host of his own podcast called Huddle Up with Gus. You can find it online at podcast.triblive.com. And we're very honored he is with us tonight and our second guest Hall of Fame inductee of the night. Hey, Gus, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show, and thanks for being so great.
Hey, Chris and Bob, thanks for having me on, and thanks for the honor of inducting me into your Hall of Fame. I'm not sure that I deserve it, especially after listening to Greg talk. I don't know if I can keep up.
Yeah, it's hard to do. I promise you that. He's fantastic. I tell you what, you know, that's why he's in our Hall of Fame. There's some great stuff every single time he's a part of the show. And the same for you. I tell you, you know, Gus, you really help us get inside the mind of a quarterback and some of the things that we're all not privy to. I want to get your thoughts on a couple of things that we're seeing going on around the league right now. And it really feels like players are starting to kind of take it into their own hands to kind of force early free agency. One of the things I was remarked this past weekend is when Terry Bradshaw talked about Antonio Brown and how, you know, AB is the kind of player that he hates. And if AB had played, you know, back when Terry was the quarterback of the Steelers, he just wouldn't have thrown the ball to him. So I'm curious to get your thoughts. Is that something that, you know, you would believe on your own?
Yeah, I think if AB would have played when Terry played, there wouldn't have been social media, and nobody would have known anything about AB besides what he did on the football field. Like Terry was in movies and different things like that. But it's a different world today. Guys are out there on social media. It's hard for a team to say, hey, check your phones at the door. We don't want you to post anything about your life, what you're doing. So there's a point when I interviewed Isaac Bruce today, and I hope he gets into the Hall of Fame. Isaac and I played together, played against each other in college. We go way back, but, you know, we talked about there's a respect level that you have to earn, and no games are won and no teams have won any Super Bowl unless that locker room is in sync. And there's a respect level that these guys are losing from other players. And when you go into a locker room, just because you felt like you weren't going to win a championship and you didn't give it your effort and you wanted to go somewhere else, you can't do that. I mean, so there is some policing going on for the players. You have to earn other players' respect. And if you think you can go out and play this game on your own, you're sadly mistaken. Nobody's ever won a football game by themselves. And no receiver's ever caught a winning touchdown pass without somebody else blocking and somebody else throwing the ball and all those other things. So it's a team sport. It's the ultimate team sport. And, you know, sadly, if these guys who have a lot of talent and they don't want to understand that you have to have great talent to play in this league, but if you don't play within the boundaries of that system and that team and get respect and respect your other teammates, you're just not going to be the player that you ever could be. And it's really sad to watch and sad to see, but I think it's a tough thing for teams to deal with social media. It's good in a lot of ways and it's bad in a lot of ways.
So Gus, if you were the quarterback, in this instance, right, in the example with AB, if you were the quarterback of the Patriots and everything that you know about AB, how he got himself out of Pittsburgh, how he got himself out of the Raiders, and now he shows up in your locker room. Are you going over and talking to him and, you know, trying to say, you know, hey, look, that what you did there is not going to play here. We don't have that in this locker room. You're not going to come here and destroy this locker room. This is how it is. Do you try to get ahead of that, or do you wait and see what happens?
Well, he's going to a team with the GOAT, right? He's going with Tom Brady. And if AB cannot respect what Tom Brady has done and fall within the parameters of that team, he's not going to be there long, because we've seen Coach Belichick take way different athletes. He doesn't care who you are. If you don't do what they ask and don't prepare the way they want and don't fall into the lines the way they see fit, you're just not going to be there. And he'll just pull somebody else in. I mean, I've known Wes Welker for a long time, and he played there for quite a few years. And, you know, Wes, they asked Wes to play defense. So Wes, like, I never played defense, but they're like, well, we think you can cover this guy better than anybody we got. So Wes said, sure, I'll try it. And, you know, he played defense for a game too. And that kind of stuff happens. And that's what the Patriots are. And if AB thinks he's going to go to New England and screw around and do the things he's done, he's sadly mistaken, because they'll get rid of him faster than anybody else.
And Gus, you mentioned your podcast, Huddle Up with Gus. Fantastic podcast, now available on TribLive.com. You recently interviewed Heath Shuler.
Yeah,
is that right?
Changed that. Yeah, we're not with Trib anymore. We're on every. You can listen to us on every podcast station now. We're on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and wherever you listen to your podcast, iHeart. Even radio.com, we're on now. We went off on our own. The Trib did a tremendous job working with us and helping us get us started. But and I can't thank them enough. But they started this process, and we parted ways about a month ago. But, you know, we're on our own now, and it's been really good. It's been a lot of fun. And, you know, I've interviewed some incredible guests. I'm doing taking some notes from you guys on how to do that, what kind of questions to ask, and it's been a lot of fun.
So I saw that you you recently interviewed Heath Shuler, and I was curious about, you know, just going into that. It seems like it could have gotten weird between you and Heath. What was it like bringing him onto your podcast and talking about the times that you guys played together?
Yeah, you know, at first I had a lot of apprehension about interviewing Heath, because we've never done a show together. We've never been on the same radio show or television show or been interviewed at the same time in all of our careers. And it was just very interesting coming in, because I think we both had a lot of bad memories, but we didn't air those. So, yeah, I think we let all that go, and we just wanted to reach out to each other, see how each other was doing, talk about those days, what we both went through, what it was like. And, you know, we just wanted to play football. I never really had any animosity towards Heath, even though when I would go out and say, I think I deserve to play that position, because that was me in trying to be self-confident and saying that I deserve to be in that spot because I put the work in and put the time in. Just like Greg said, I watch the film, I'm out there and practicing. But it wasn't a slight towards Heath. It's just that was me, you know. And if you didn't act like that, then you weren't ever going to get out there. But we had a great conversation. We talked for an hour. You know, we listened to Heath's life story. We asked him how sports really shaped his life. And, I mean, Heath had a great career after he left the NFL. He was in real estate. He was in politics. He's a consultant now. So he's doing a wonderful job. And now his son, his son is going on and playing college football. So Heath had a great career. I had a lot of fun talking to him. And we talked about, you know, Coach Turner. We talked about Charlie Casserly, Mr. Cook, a lot of the guys we played with. So it was a great interview. And it was kind of a lot of really nice to rekindle a friendship that, you know, I wasn't sure was ever going to happen again.
Bob, questions for Gus?
Congrats on the award, Gus, and it's always a lot of fun talking to you. And I want to stay on the topic of good teammates, good chemistry, and guys that are just good in the locker room. I mean, you play with a lot of them. I'm looking at some of your old teammates again. I think this man's name has come up in the past, Gus, and that's Brian Mitchell. First of all, you got to ask the question and answer me why he's not in the Hall of Fame, number one. Number two, was he a great teammate, a guy that could do so many things in the locker room?
Yeah, I don't know why Brian is in the Hall of Fame either. I think he's, I don't know, he probably still is leading in all-purpose yardage. I mean, the guy could do everything. Played quarterback in the body bag game against the Eagles, was a college quarterback, returned kicks, returned punts. was a receiver, could play receiver, running back, you name it, he could do it. Loved the game, loved the passion. He brought it every practice, every day. And he was the, what Greg was talking about. He was that guy that you respected and went out there and just wanted to be the best. And he demanded it of everybody around him. Now, you know, I didn't always agree with everything Brian did, but he certainly does deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. And, it's sad to see some of the great Redskins that aren't in the Hall of Fame, you know, kind of like Joe Jacoby and, you know, there's Brian, there's quite a few others, but, you know, I hope they get in and I hope Brian gets nominated and gets in someday.
And Gus, on some of the past shows you've been on, we talked about your upbringing in Pennsylvania and how competitive high school and college football is there. And I'm sure you have a lot of people to thank for all your success in life. And I just wanted to give you a chance to probably thank some of those people that even before you got to Tulsa, who might have been responsible for your success, beside, of course, your parents, maybe some people at the youth level, high school level. Guys that when you think back that were really responsible for where you are today.
Well, yeah, I mean, ultimately I thank my dad. I mean, all the hours he spent with me in the backyard throwing baseball, throwing football, just telling me to throw it as hard as you can so you can strengthen your arm. And I can't tell you how many times both of us chased my wild pitches into the woods, but you know, just going to get it, doing it, and always supporting me. I mean, I went through a lot of rough times, and probably the person in football that really helped me get to where I am today and helped me get to that next level was my father-in-law, Harry Beckwith, my wife's dad. He was a high school coach, came to my high school. I think a sophomore in ninth grade. I broke my neck in high school playing football, didn't play for 2 years. Him and my dad were friends. My cousin Mitch, who played for Penn State, played for the Bills in Seattle. Played for Harry as well. Harry's very well known. He's in Pennsylvania State Coaches Hall of Fame. He knows football in and out. He was tough. He pushed you. He was hard on you, but he cared about you. And that's why still so many guys think about him that played high school football for him. And I can tell you story after story about what Harry put me through, but also what he did for me. And, you know, I knew Harry before I met his daughter. She lived with her mom. They were divorced, her mom and dad. But, you know, Harry and I were friends and taught me a lot about punting, about playing the position. We ran the wing tee. I probably threw the ball like 40 times my whole high school career and never started playing high school football until I was a junior in high school. And so you just never know where your path is going to lead and the people that are going to make those influential, marks in your path. And, you know, there's basketball coaches I've had, baseball coaches, won the state championship in baseball. Don Maines was a great coach, that we had. We went first, second, and fourth in the state in 3 years. And those were experiences I can never have again, but always remember and remember the guys I played with and just, you know, teammates. One of my good friends that I grew up with, Sean Klingensmith, we did everything together. Unfortunately, he passed away at like 47, had a heart attack, but we did everything. We lifted together. We ran together. You know, we went out together. And those are the guys that, you know, you respected, you did all the work with. And then it was so much fun playing on Friday nights in front of that crowd. Even though we didn't have big crowds in Ford City, we had a lot of fun running a wing tee offense. And I can remember calling all those coaches when I started coaching my son in youth football and saying, I want to run the wing tee for them because I thought it was a great way to prepare them for football. It was a great foundation to give them. And all the coaches would send me the old game plans, the old playbooks, and I have them all. You know, they sent me an old piece of paper, and I photocopied all of them and put them on a DVD drive. I said, we got to get into the 21st century here, coaches. But it was great.
Gus, before we let you go, remind our listeners how they can listen to your podcast and then stay up to date with all the great things you're doing.
Yeah, so they can listen to Huddle Up with Gus on any of their favorite, wherever they listen to their podcast, iTunes, anywhere. You can go to our social media at Huddle Up with Gus. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And we're bringing great guests in. We just interviewed David Baker from the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and he invited us to come over next year for enshrine it and interview some players. I did Isaac Bruce today. I've just had a great guest lineup, and I've learned so much from you guys, and I'm honored that, you know, like I took that picture with the plaque and I showed the guys at the podcast studio and I said, look, I don't know why they think that I deserve this, but I just enjoy being on your show. I think you guys do an outstanding job, and I appreciate you taking time to listen to my old stories and myself talk, but thank you so much, and I'm honored.
Well, Gus, we can't thank you enough for everything you've meant to us and all the times you've been on the show. We so many other things we want to get into with you. We hope you'll come back and join us again real soon, my friend.
Call me anytime.
Take care, Gus.
Thank you, sir. Take care, Gus. All the best to you and your family.
All right. You too. Thank you.
That's the great Gus Verratt. And Bob, you know, so many other things I wanted to get into tonight with Gus, but you want to talk about a guy who just through guts and determination, you know, you got through, you know, all the years that he was 15-year NFL career, Bob. A guy that, you know, had success, was at the Pro Bowl level. A guy that, you know, mentored a lot of other people. And I give him all kinds of credit for being a seventh round pick and being able to come in then and beat out a guy who was the number three pick overall. That just shows you how much he wanted it, how good he was, and how much time he spent preparing himself to get that job.
True, Chris. A great guy and a great podcast, as you say. But this is a guy, again, you know, at 37 years old, his last year in the league is a Minnesota Viking quarterback, 8-3, and he threw a 99-yard touchdown pass. So he had a memorable career. Gus, and again, we're honored to have him not only as a new member of the Hall of Fame, but as a good friend.